It is about time for us to get started. This is the last night of our June summer series. So next week we'll be going back to our normal adult Bible classes. But I have really enjoyed the series so far, and I'm super excited about tonight. We've been studying through the book of Acts, and we've kind of been doing it in connection to our theme for the year, which is created for action. And if you're looking for a book in the New Testament that has a lot of action in it, well, that's the book of Acts. And we are part of God's new creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are created to be active in his world and active in his kingdom. And so we've been looking at the book of Acts and different ideas about being active in it. And tonight we're going to be talking about being active in faithfulness. We're going to be talking about some of the ways that the church in the book of Acts had to overcome and practice faithfulness. And so we're really excited to have our speaker, T.J. Gifford, here to talk about that. I'll introduce him more right when the time for him to speak comes. Before Brother T.J. Gifford gets up here, I wanted to offer kind of an introduction to him so that we know who's talking to us. T.J. Gifford is a proud Tennessean raised in the foothills of the Great Smoky Mountains in Madisonville, Tennessee. He met his wife, Kimberly, while attending preaching school. Next month, they will celebrate 19 years of marriage, which is awesome. Together, they have three children, Haley, Hayden, and Naylan, who are here with us tonight, and we're glad to have all of them. I'm pretty sure TJ is also working on his master's at Bear Valley right now, and so because of that, we know some of the same people. After spending 18 years in other states preaching for various congregations, TJ moved back home last year and is now serving as the preaching minister for the Eastside Church of Christ in Maryville. I'm very excited to have TJ in town and preaching at Eastside. I think he's a fantastic minister. I've listened to some of his lessons. He does a wonderful job. And in my time getting to talk with him, he seems like someone who not only is talented and excellent at what he does, but he's a true and sincere servant of the Lord and actually lives it out in his life. And that is the most important thing a minister can be. And so thank you so much for agreeing to speak here with us. And TJ, take it away.
Travis, thank you so much for the kind words, as I said, as we were passing. And if I knew you were going to read exactly what I gave you, I would have given you more flowery words to express about me. Very appreciative for the invitation Travis has extended, along with this congregation, to come and speak to you this evening. And I'm just appreciative. I'm appreciative for the fact that we can gather here this evening and study God's Word and have the freedom to do so. As I stand here before you this evening, I'm reminded of that beloved psalm, as it is recorded in Psalm 133 in verse number 1, where the Bible says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." I very much so love that I can travel to many parts of this country and many parts of the world, and I can meet brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm thankful that I don't even have to leave my own hometown. This isn't, of course, my hometown where I grew up, but I don't even have to leave the town of Maryville for me to be able to find brothers and sisters in Christ where we can fellowship, where we can assemble together and study God's Word together. I'm so very thankful for that. You know, I was assigned to talk about faithfulness, and to me, faithfulness is a topic that is so big that I find it intimidating to some degree to discuss. And the specifics of this topic were so interesting to me that I kind of developed a lesson that's far too detailed to cover with you this evening. I was told to speak for only 30 minutes. I'm just now setting my timer. So I'm going to do my very best to do that. But I just want you to know that there's a whole lot that I'm going to have to bypass in order to accomplish that. And that's my own fault for preparing so much. You know, what I want to do this evening is I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Acts, and we'll be getting there in a matter of time, to the book of Acts chapter 4 to begin with. And as you're turning there, I want to reflect back on a certain individual. It was a small country church nestled in the mountains, and there was a quiet but very faithful lady who attended there, an elder lady. Her name was Miss Helen. And Miss Helen never led a ladies' day. She never spoke at a ladies' day. She certainly didn't have a social media following, but for 50 years she showed up every Sunday at that congregation. She showed up early, she turned the lights on, and she lined those guest bags up so that she could hand them out to guests. You know, every week for Miss Helen, she would finish her duties at church on Sunday, and when Monday rolled around, she would always write three cards every Monday. She would write one for a shut-in, she would write one for a visitor who had attended, and she would write one for a young person. And she would write to that young person every week and say, "I want you to know that God loves you, and I love you also." She was a special lady. And when I think about Miss Helen and ladies like her, I'm reminded that there's no news articles written about her. And it came time when Miss Helen would indeed, like all of us, pass away. And like I said, there would be no news articles written about her. And there was no video tribute made in her honor. There was actually only a few dozen people that showed up to her funeral. And the preacher stood, and as he was reflecting on Miss Helen, he said the following, and I quote, "She never made headlines, but her name will be known in heaven. When she passed, I believe heaven heard her name, and it rang out with rejoicing, not because she was famous, but because she was faithful. You see, in a world that chases fame and visibility and grand achievements, it's easy to feel like faithfulness only matters if it's impressive. Many Christians quietly wonder, does what I do really matter to God? Is my faithfulness enough if no one sees it?" Well, the Scripture gives a resounding answer, and the answer is yes. God sees your faithfulness, and God cares about your faithfulness, and God rewards His faithful, not in the size of the task that we perform, but in the sincerity of the servant's heart. Yes, God sees your faithfulness. Today, I want us to open our Bibles here in the book of Acts, and I want us to look at faithfulness maybe a little closer than we have in recent weeks. I want us to think about from God's Word for what faithfulness is, how the Bible defines faithfulness. And I want us to look back at the early Christians and see how they lived it out in their lives. And I want us to see how we can express faithfulness ourselves in our lives today. I've organized this, as preachers often do, into 3 points. Hopefully they'll be somewhat memorable. Number one, I want us to look at faithfulness explained. That is, of course, how the Bible defines it. Number two, faithfulness exemplified, how it was lived out by the early church. And number three, faithfulness expressed, what it looks like in our lives today. And so with what time we have, I want us to attempt to do that this evening. To begin with, you will probably, when I hear the word faithfulness, I automatically link those two important words. A very key word within the word faithfulness is what? What would your answer be? Faith, right? And just like in the English language, how that there is a very similar link between the word faith and the word faithfulness, and they sound similar, of course, one being a root word. That's also true in the Greek. Actually, when you look at the Greek word that is translated faith, it is pistis. That's the Greek word. And if you look at the Greek word that is translated faithfulness, that is pistos. And so not only do they sound similar and have that link in the English, but they have that link in the Greek. And so the idea behind this, of course, is that faith is trusting in God. On the other hand, faithfulness is loyalty and obedience to the will of God. You know, maybe an illustration, at least it helps me to better understand the link between faith and faithfulness. I like to think of faith as a child that is standing on the edge of a ledge. And in that child is standing on the edge of a particular ledge, he sees his father there below, and faith is that child knowing, trusting that if he were to jump, he would be safely grabbed up by his father. That's what faith is. But on the other hand, faithfulness is when the child actually leaps. Faithfulness is when the child actually puts his trust in action, and he acts upon it, and he takes the step. He makes the jump. That's what faithfulness is. That reminds me, actually, of what Jesus said in the book of Mark. In Mark 10 and verse number 15, when Jesus said, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God," underline this, "as a little child, will by no means enter it." Jesus is teaching us to have a childlike faith. A faith that is so trusting in God that it moves to action and becomes faithfulness. There's the action in the assigned portion of our lesson. Faithfulness is faith in action, if you will. And I think that is seen in illustrations such as the one I gave. And so if we were to take the word faith and faithful and see a contrast between the two words, maybe we could look at it this way. That to have faith, as we've already said, is to trust, but to be faithful is to be trustworthy. Let me repeat that. To have faith is to trust. To be faithful is to ourselves be trustworthy. To put it another way, to have faith is counting on God to do what He says He will do, but to be faithful is God being able to count on us to do what He tells us to do. And so faith can be contrasted with faithfulness, but what about the relationship on a deeper level between faith and faithfulness? Faith is the root of faithfulness. Faithfulness is not really faithfulness without genuine faith. Does that make sense? And so the connection, one, is that faith is the root of faithfulness, but number two, faithfulness is the fruit of faith. If I have true, genuine, biblical faith, brothers and sisters, then it will be seen, it will show up in the way I live for the Lord. That's the connection. And so practically speaking, of course, faithlessness then is not just disbelieving, it is acting like I don't believe. And on the other hand, faithfulness is being so full of faith that it moves me to action. And I think that's the key to all of this. That biblical faithfulness is not a profession of faith. Biblical faithfulness is not a mere mental acceptance of the facts of Scripture. Biblical faithfulness is being so full of faith that it moves us to action, and the action is complying with the will of God. That's what faithfulness is. So point number one, we looked at faith explained, how the Bible defines faith. But number two, I would like for us to consider faith exemplified, and that's where we turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, and look at a number of examples of how those early Christians lived a life of faith and demonstrated faithfulness in their lives. I want to begin in Acts chapter 4 and verse 18. In Acts 4 and verse number 18. Now, because of time, and I told you how much material that I planned, that is one of my biggest weaknesses as a preacher is going over. And so he challenged me when he said 30 minutes. And that's something I challenge myself with every week. I've got the timer here, so let me not draw attention to the time. Let me get back to the lesson. But you get the point that I'm going to cover the material maybe a little more rapidly than what I want to. So if you will, jump on board with me and let's go through this. In Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse number 18, we have a scenario here where Peter and John were arrested, and they were commanded by the Jewish authorities to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm sure these other speakers who have come in here have done a wonderful job explaining maybe even this exact story, because I know you had a lesson on evangelism. But here they were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. They went out and they were preaching the gospel message that Jesus saves and salvation is available. That's all that they were doing, but they were arrested and they, in this instance, they were threatened. Do not speak in this man's name anymore. And so Peter and John were threatened by the Jewish authorities. But instead of caving in to fear, we know when we read this text that they boldly refused to comply with that demand, saying that they must obey God rather than man. And so we read this in Acts 4 and verse number 18, when the Bible says, "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John answered and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge that." Verse 20, "For we cannot," underline it, "we cannot but speak." The way I see this when I read this is, we can't help but speak. We can't help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter and John were witnesses to the amazing life of Jesus Christ. And they could not ignore the 3.5 years they had with Jesus. They could not ignore the miracles, the teaching, the influence he had on the history of humanity. They said, if you have seen what we have seen, no one could shut you up. In the first century with those early Christians, they were faithful even in the presence of threats. Keep in mind, the apostles here were threatened by the same Jewish council that sentenced their Lord Jesus to death. When they took Jesus and sentenced him to death, they scattered. They ran. There was a sense in which they were acting in fear. And they knew what this council could do. They could manipulate the masses and have the crowds chanting, "Crucify him, crucify him." Yet by this time, they had, through the power of God, mustered up the courage to say, "No, we will not comply to your demand." That's what faithfulness looks like in this regard. If you fast forward one chapter to Acts chapter 5, going to verse number 40, you see that not only the early church demonstrated faithfulness in the midst of threats, but they demonstrated faithfulness in the midst of beatings. And we see this in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 40, when the Bible says this, "And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and," what's it say? "They had beaten them. They commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go." And you can keep reading verse 41. "So they departed from the presence of the council," and notice, "rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house," underline it, "they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." That's what faithfulness looked like to the early Christians. They were faithful despite the persecution they were up against after being arrested and beaten for preaching Jesus. The apostles rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame in his name, and they continued teaching daily. The apostles didn't grow bitter and they didn't grow discouraged. Instead, they left the hardships of the beating and they had joy in their heart. Why? Because they could suffer in the name of Jesus. That's what faithfulness looks like. To those early Christians, they were faithful, and they demonstrated faithfulness in the midst of threats, in the midst of beatings. But if you fast forward to Acts chapter 8, you will see that they continued to demonstrate this faithfulness even though they were scattered. It's one thing to be threatened, but when you come together with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you can receive that encouragement. It's one thing to experience the pain of the beating, but it's another thing where we can have that temporary pain and then reconvene with our brothers and sisters in Christ for that encouragement. Satan was very, very devious here when he decided, "Oh, I see the comfort they have in gathering with one another. Let me disperse them. Let me scatter them. Let me prevent them from being able to meet in the exact same way they were meeting." And you know the text, and for sake of time, I'll just simply state that after Stephen's death, immense persecution broke out against the church. And the Christians in Jerusalem, the Bible uses this wording, that they were scattered. And instead of scattering and hiding, you know the story, they rather took the gospel wherever they scattered, and they continued to preach the word. Verse number 4, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere," doing what, church family? Preaching the word. That's what faithfulness looked like to the early Christians. They demonstrated faithfulness in the midst of threats, in the midst of beatings, when they were scattered. They also demonstrated faithfulness, you may recall, and this is a quick reference, in Acts 16, verses 22 through 25, when they were even placed in prison. Paul and Silas placed in prison. They didn't feel sorry for themselves. They were not moping. They were not complaining. They were praising God with song and in prayer so that others could see. They were serving as an example that Christians don't abandon faithfulness to God in the midst of hardships. They endure the hardships. They remain faithful through it all. And they demonstrated in such a way, church family, you know the rest of the story, that a number of the people in the prison were listening to them, including that jailer who was watching over them. And by that evening, that jailer became a follower of Christ. Faithfulness means something just as it did to them. And if you're in Acts chapter 8, I would ask you to go back to the last part of Acts chapter 7. They were faithful in the face of threats, in the face of beatings, even while being scattered. They were faithful even from a prison cell. They were faithful even in death. And you know the story. There's two points to be made here. Number one, Stephen in Acts chapter 7 went and preached Jesus. And it's such a beautiful sermon. It's such a special sermon about Jesus and how He is the ultimate fulfillment of the Old Testament Scriptures. And at the end of that sermon, He preached His heart out. Just like Travis and myself and any other preacher really tries to do on a weekly basis, Stephen preached his heart out. And at the end of that sermon, he wasn't greeted at the back door with handshakes and pats on the back. He wasn't told, good job, preacher. No, you know the story. The Scripture says they gnashed at him with their teeth. And in unison, they approached him and they hurled rocks of stone at him over and over again until he lost his life. But he was faithful through it all, wasn't he? And in the last moments of his life, there was nothing but grace and mercy on his lips. When he, in the fashion of his Savior, said, do not hold this sin against them, Lord. Faithfulness to the end. Where do you think Stephen learned that from? He learned it from his Lord. Go with me to the book of Philippians very quickly. And in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8, you know who else is an example of being faithful even in death? It is Jesus Christ. You know the wording of this passage, but let's read it together anyways. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8, you know the passage, but let's read it. The Bible says, and speaking of Christ and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself. What's your Bible say? And He became obedient to the point of what? What's it say? Death. Even the death on the cross. Jesus is an example of faithfulness even in the face of death. And so we can learn from the early church over and over and over again that faithfulness matters, and faithfulness is not dependent upon outward circumstances. And faithfulness is something that can be evident even in the hardest of circumstances. And so, briefly, we have looked at faithfulness explained, defined by the Scriptures. Number two, we have seen faithfulness exemplified as lived out by the early church. But number three, I want to make this more personal to you and I. I want us to look at faithfulness expressed, what faithfulness looks like in your life and in my life today. You know, we were just talking about the death of Jesus, right? And oh, did He suffer. You know, I was doing a study this past week and I was reflecting on this, that in the Old Testament, when the Passover was instituted, you remember the origin of the Passover, how that in that 10th plague, the Lord God Himself passed over the ones who had honored Him in the sense of this sacrificial lamb and roasting the meat and marking the doorpost with blood. You remember that story, right? That's the origins of the Passover. And every year, once it was instituted, the Jewish people observed the Passover. In the New Testament, they were continuing to observe the Passover. And what's interesting, if you go back to the Exodus account, God tells them when they were to slay that lamb. Do you remember? It was at twilight. Now, what's significant is in Hebrew, the phrase that is translated twilight can be literally translated as between the evenings. Now, this is interesting to me. The Jewish people very early on identified the time in which this sacrifice was to happen would be somewhere around 2:30 in the afternoon to about 4:30 in the afternoon. By the time Jesus' generation arrives, it was long-held tradition that they would slay these lambs for Passover at 3:00 p.m. Do you remember what time it was when Jesus, after having suffered for 6 hours on the cross, the Bible says, and if you look at the timeline, it was 3:00 p.m. when he cried out these words, "It is finished." The Greek phrase that is translated, "it is finished," was a common phrase stamped on people's receipts, carrying with it the message that the debt has been paid. And at exactly 3:00 p.m, at Passover, when the air would have been full of smoke billowing from the temple, and when the city was astir with many new people there, and there would be a somber tone across the whole city, at the exact moment when, by the way, Josephus thinks there was about 20,000 priests in Jerusalem during that time, and that there was, let me get the numbers right, almost 600,000 lambs that would have been slain at this point in history at one Passover. And that happens beginning at 3:00 p.m. At the exact moment, priests were taking the life of those lambs, and the blood was being shed, and the smoke was in the air, and if you will, the smell of roasted lamb was being smelled, and the cry of those lambs being sacrificed. When the lamb the people provided to God was crying out, at that exact moment, the lamb that God provided for the people also cried out, "It is finished. The debt has been paid." I don't think that's by coincidence, brothers and sisters. He suffered. And he paid the debt for you and I. When I consider how much Jesus has done for me, I realize how little I have done for him. Can you relate to me on that point? When I reflect on how much Jesus has done for me, I'm reminded of how little I've done for him. But that's okay. That's okay because of what I read in Matthew 25 and verse 21, and that is because a little is enough. I'm reminded that a little is enough. In the parable of the talents, Jesus says to that man who had 5 talents and made profit and gave the Lord 5 talents in addition, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful," or "you were faithful," and underline it, "a few things." The English Standard says, "You have been faithful in a little. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter now into the joy of the Lord." The Lord doesn't ask us to have tremendously impressive tasks that we've accomplished. The Lord doesn't ask us to be famous. He doesn't ask us to do anything that in the eyes of man and in the eyes of society is overly impressive. He asks us to be faithful in the small things. And I think that that is significant in our study. What does faithfulness look like in our lives, in my life, in your life? Faithfulness is about stewardship. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it is required in stewards that they be found faithful. Be fruitful in whatever God has placed in your hands today. Some of you have been given a lot. Some have been given a little. Whatever the Lord has given us, be faithful in those things. If you're a parent, teach your children God's word. If you're an employee, work honestly and with diligence. If you're retired, pray for others. Encourage and teach the younger and serve in ways that pull from your years of wisdom. It doesn't need to be overly impressive to be impressive to God. Faithfulness is often quiet but powerful. In Matthew 6 and verse 4, he says, in this passage, "Your Father who sees in secret will reward you." King James and New King James says, "will reward you openly." Wait a minute. I can do good deeds and never be seen for doing those good deeds, and God is still pleased. Absolutely. And you know that that is true, but a reminder is always good. What's done in faith may not be seen by others, but it's seen by God, and that's all that really matters. And so the lesson, I believe, is choose today to serve without being thanked and pray without being noticed and do good without having to take credit. Number 3, faithfulness for us grows in small but repeated acts. In Luke chapter 16 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. I believe this is a very strong principle that if I can be faithful over a small responsibility, then I can be faithful over a big responsibility. And this is a tremendously important point in light of being, of understanding faithfulness is not always needing to be a martyr, and faithfulness is not always needing to be faithful in the midst of being locked up in prison. It can be in the small things, as we're pointing out. And so you don't build a faithful life all at once. You build it by being faithful today. And then tomorrow you're faithful that day. And so I try to challenge myself and try to challenge others to develop habits such as pray every morning before your feet hit the floor. Read Scripture even if it's just a section to reflect upon. Encourage one person a day. You can do that. We can all do that. A text, a call, a card, a simple kind word. We can give consistently even when our finances are tight. We can be present at worship even when it's inconvenient. We can be faithful even in the small things, but repeated. Number four, faithfulness means staying the course even when it's challenging. You know Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. Faithfulness isn't proven in comfort, it's proven in conflict. When it's difficult, church family, keep showing up. When it's difficult, keep doing right. When it's difficult, keep trusting the promises of God. That's what faithfulness is, right? Faithfulness stems from our trust in God. I think sometimes when we brag about having faith, we think that faith is having faith in us. I think sometimes we convince ourselves, well, I know the right things, I hold to the right teachings, I do it the right way, therefore I have faith, right? No, faith is trusting in God to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And then if we go on to act as though everything's dependent upon our perfection, then it's not faith. Is that fair? It's not faith, and it's not faithfulness. Faithfulness means staying the course, as we already said, but also faithfulness is rooted in knowing whose you are. In other words, who you belong to. In Colossians 3, verse 23 through 24, the Bible says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." Underline this phrase, "For you serve the Lord Christ." Don't forget who you serve. May I never forget who I serve. I am not to be a pleaser of people. I am to be a pleaser of God. And faithfulness is rooted in this idea. You're not, in faithfulness, we're not just being faithful to a task. I think I need that reminder sometimes. But rather, we're being faithful to the King that we have submitted to. And in faithfulness, it's important for me to reframe my mindset. It's not about checking off boxes. It's about honoring the King as I perform every act of godliness. And so faithfulness isn't about how big your platform is. It's about the steadfastness of your heart. God isn't looking for the most visible servant. He is looking for the most dependable servant. And if you're faithful with a little, He promises to reward you and I beyond measure. You may never preach to thousands of people, nor will I, but you can at least teach your children and your grandchildren, right? That's faithfulness. You may never write a New York Times bestseller, but you can write God's Word on the hearts of those that you interact with. That's faithfulness. You may never stand on a global stage, but you can stand firm for your faith. You may never be known by the world, but know that you are known by God as His faithful servant. And when you are faithfully serving Him over a little, He will say, "Well done." That's what I long to hear. Jesus was faithful to you, right? He was faithful to me even unto death, Philippians 2:8. The question is, will you be faithful to Him? If you've never begun your walk with Christ to do so with faith, and you know the plan of salvation, but begin that walk of faith with Christ, and you do that faith leading to repentance, and faith leading to confession, and faith leading to baptism, and leading to a lifestyle that honors Christ Jesus. If you haven't done that, then we implore you to do that this very evening. And if you're already a Christian but have drifted, grown weary, or wandered away in some way, maybe you've wondered at times that your small efforts, they don't matter. But remember Miss Helen that we talked about at the beginning. Remember the early church, and most of all, remember our Savior. Faithfulness doesn't need a spotlight. It just needs a surrendered heart. Will you respond to the call so that heaven will know your name, even if it's not echoed here in this earth? Will you respond and follow Jesus? Will you be faithful to Him as we stand and as we sing?